Hi, and welcome to the Day Trading for Beginners podcast. This is episode 18, and in this episode, we are talking about option prices explained for beginners. So my name is Tyler Stokes from StokesTrades.com. I'm on a journey to become a full-time day trader, and we're at the stage now where we're learning about options, and this is our third episode. So in the first episode, we talked about, you know, what options are, and we talked about buying options. And then in the previous episode, episode 17, we talked all about selling options. So that was sort of like intro part two. And now we're on the stage where we're going to discuss option prices. So if you've not downloaded my 6-month blueprint that outlines everything I'm doing, you can find that at StokesTrades.com/blueprint. Or a link below in the show notes. And I mentioned in previous episodes that I am sharing all the resources that I'm personally using to learn about options. And what I can tell you based on, you know, my experience studying this stuff is that the more sources you sort of get and you read and you listen to, I think the better you are going to be, because everyone explains options a little bit differently. They explain it in slightly different orders, or their way of explanation is slightly different. And, you know, it might take you a few sources of information to sort of get things and to have things click. So I would recommend that you sort of obviously listen to this, but then check out some other resources. And I actually share that in our platform on School. It's a free community. No one's selling a course. There's no selling memberships or mentorships. You can go to the website StokesTrades.com and click on the community button, and you can go there. There's, you know, about 70 or so people at the time of recording this. Some beginners, they've, you know, some people have been introducing themselves. It's a great place to stay accountable. And then everything we're talking about is going to be produced as lessons in modules, and everything's free. And in the option course, I've got a module on resources where I share all the resources that I'm currently using to study options. So I would highly recommend that you check that out. Okay, so for option prices, again, we've learned what options are, how you can buy them, how you can sell them. And now we want to talk about, you know, what influences the prices of options. And that's referred to, again, as the premium. So if you want to buy a option, whether you're buying a put or you're buying a call, you need to pay a premium. You need to buy the contract, which gives you the right, but not the obligation, to either buy the underlying asset or sell the underlying asset. And again, that's called the premium. And there's certain things that affect the premium, affect the prices of options. And that's what we're going to discuss in this podcast. And again, it's going to be very beginner friendly. But before we get into that, I thought we would just refer and review the terms in the money, at the money, and then out of the money. So again, these things are important to understand. They're a bit self-explanatory. It's probably going to be a review for most of us, but it's important to know what those are. And then we'll discuss the two components that make up the price of an option. And that these are intrinsic value and extrinsic value. And again, it's going to be very easy once we get through this podcast. So firstly, in the money, at the money, and out of the money. So if you think of, you know, let's do an example. We'll use Tesla, and we'll pretend Tesla stock is currently trading at $170. So if you want to think about what does in the money mean, basically that means that when you exercise the option, so you're the buyer, you're either bought a call option or you bought a put option, and you exercise that option, it's in the money if it produces a profit. So if you had a call option on Tesla and the strike price was $150, meaning you have the right to buy Tesla stock at $150 and it's currently trading for $170, well, it is in the money. There's $20 of profit there. You could buy at $150, sell at $170, and you get a profit of $20 per share made up in the contract. And then on the put side, if you had a put option with a strike price of $190, that gives you the right to sell Tesla stock at $190 and it's currently trading for $170. Well, you know, you've got a $20 profit there. You can buy at $170, instantly sell at $190. You've got a $20 profit there. Those two options are in the money. If you were to exercise them as the buyer, you have a profit. That means that they are in the money. Now, at the money refers to options where the strike price and the stock price are currently very, very equal. They're equal, or they're very, very close to being the same thing. So if you had a Tesla call option or a put option with a strike price of 170, and Tesla's currently trading for 170, those options are considered at the money. And then out of the money, a little self-explanatory, you know, if you were to exercise those options, you obviously wouldn't, because there would be no value in doing that. They're out of the money. So for the examples that we're talking here, if you had a call option with a strike price of, you know, $180, but Tesla's currently trading for $170, that option would be worthless. It's out of the money. You would never buy at $180 when you can currently buy at the market at $170. So that would be an example of out of the money. So it's important to understand those, because the options that are in the money have what is called intrinsic value. And that's the first component of how an options contract is priced. So the intrinsic value of an option is the real tangible value that's embedded within the option based on its position relative to the stock's current price. So let's do an example and you'll totally understand if you didn't from that little definition there. So in the intrinsic value, there's a formula to it for calls and puts. And listening to this, you might not understand completely with the formula, but we'll do an example and it'll totally click. Basically, the intrinsic value for a call option is you take the stock price and you minus the strike price. So in our example, we're talking Tesla. The current stock price is $170. And in our example, we had a call option with a strike price of $150. So remember, if you are the buyer of that option, you have the right to buy at $150. And the stock is currently trading at $170. So you would do stock minus strike price, $170 minus $150. You've got $20 there of intrinsic value. So if you were to exercise that option for a strike price of $150, when Tesla's trading at $170, you've got $20 of intrinsic value. And then on the put side, you know, you just flip the formula around. It's going to be strike price minus stock price. So if you had a put option with the strike price of $190, meaning you have the right to sell at $190 and the stock's currently trading for $170, well, you buy at $170, sell at $190, you've got $20 of intrinsic value in that put option. So that's what intrinsic value is. It's you know, very black and white. You just minus the stock price minus the strike price, or for puts, you flip it around. And basically, if you were to exercise that option and there's some value in it right away, that's referred to as the intrinsic value. So the price of an option in the market, it's always going to be at least the value of its intrinsic value when it is in the money. So, you know, for those two options, that call and that put, the price of that option, it's going to be at least $20, because that's the value you can get if you exercise it right away. So those two options are in the money. So they have intrinsic value. And if they were to price that option, it would be at least the $20 in those two examples. But if you were to go and look at the options that are listed, and those examples that are similar to those examples, you're going to notice that they're priced higher than $20. They aren't just the intrinsic value. The other component of the price of an option is called the extrinsic value. So beyond just that intrinsic value, that easy formula that we just did, lies this concept of extrinsic value, or sometimes referred to as time value. And it encompasses everything else that contributes to an option's price. So extrinsic value, it's influenced by the time until the expiration of the contract, something called implied volatility, which we will discuss, and then the current market dynamics. So it represents the premium that traders are willing to pay over the intrinsic value based on their expectations of the stock's future movement. So again, in our example there with Tesla trading at 170, if you had a call option with the strike price of 150, again, the intrinsic value there is $20. You can buy at 150, the market value is 170, you've got $20 of intrinsic value. But, you know, if that option's price is $25, what that means is there's $5 of extrinsic value. So perhaps the option, you know, does not expire for another 30 days, leaving more time for the stock price to rise. Again, this extra $5 factors in things like, you know, the time to expiration and then how volatile a stock like Tesla is. So options with more time until they expire, they will have higher extrinsic value. And if you just kind of think of that, you know, there's a greater chance for a stock to make a more significant move if there's more time until the option expires. So, you know, if we look at that call option with Tesla, if it expires, you know, this Friday, so in 1 week, the extrinsic value is going to be less than if it expires in 60 days. So the option, that call option might, or the put option at with an intrinsic value of $20, if it expires this Friday, it might be selling, I don't know, for $23. So there's a little bit of extrinsic value because there's a week left. Whereas if that expired in 60 days, it might be selling for something like $30. There might be much more extrinsic value because you've got, you know, two more months where the stock could go significantly higher. And that is what contributes to the price of the option at extrinsic value. And, you know, the time until the option expires factors in to the price of options. And basically, you know, what you can take away from that is that options that have a longer time until they expire will be more expensive because there's more probability that the stock is going to either rise or fall further, and create more value for that option, buyer. So again, more time until expiry, more extrinsic value, the prices of the option are going to be higher. So time is something that affects the extrinsic value, but then there's this thing called implied volatility. And basically, you know, implied volatility, this is like the stock market's best guess at how much a stock's price might jump around in the future. So this isn't about whether the stock price is going to go up or it's going to go down. Rather, it's about how big the moves could be in either direction. So this guess, it's not directly stated, but it is suggested by how much people are willing to pay for options right now. So that's a hint that says the prices of options, whether they're higher or lower, dictate, you know, how much volatility is within that particular stock. And again, more volatility means that option prices are higher, or option prices that are higher indicate there's more implied volatility. And we'll talk about how there's a little loop there with that distinction there. But let's, you know, simplify that a little bit further in case implied volatility sounds a little bit confusing. Basically, implied, you can replace that with words like suggested or hinted at. And then volatility is just how much a stock price changes over a certain period of time, whether it rises or falls. So you could say that the suggested volatility of a stock, so suggesting how much it goes up and down, it's hinted at by the current prices of options for that stock. So, you know, these options are, again, contracts that let investors buy or sell the stock at a set price before a certain date. And the price of these options goes up or down based on how much people think the stock itself will move around. So the prices of options will change based on the implied volatility, or in essence, you know, the suggested volatility, again, it's a clue about the expected ups and downs in a stock price as seen through the lens of the options prices. So option prices are sort of dictating what the implied volatility is of the stock. So let's look at some percentages so we can sort of understand this a little bit and more, and then we'll circle back to, you know, what kind of comes first, because that was a question when I'm looking into this, and I'll get to that in a second. But let's first just look at two examples with the percentages, so implied volatility in percentages, so we can kind of understand this a little bit better. So when a stock has an implied volatility of 50% or 15%. These percentages, they give you an idea of how much the stock is expected to move over the next year. So let's look at implied volatility of 50%, 50. Now, this suggests that the market expects the stock to be very volatile. In simple terms, the market is predicting that the stock's price is going to either go up or go down by 50% over the next year based on the current prices of its options. Now, this is a higher level of volatility, indicating that the stock's price is expecting to swing quite a bit. Now, if we looked at implied volatility of 15%, this suggests that the market expects the stock to be less volatile. This means that the market is predicting that the stock's price could move up or down by 15% over the next year. And this lower level of volatility, indicating that the stock's price is expected to be more stable with fewer dramatic swings. So it's important to note these percentages, they don't predict the direction of the price movement. They only give an idea of the magnitude of the possible movement. So higher implied volatility often means higher option prices because there's a greater potential for the stock to make a significant move, which could make the options more valuable. And then conversely, lower implied volatility means lower option prices as the expected move of the stock is going to be less dramatic. So if you think about, the stock Tesla, over a few months, it can be very volatile. It can move up by 5 to 10% in just a day. So the prices of options are going to be more expensive because there's more probability that your option could be much more valuable because the stock jumps around so much. So, as you buy an option, you buy the right to buy Tesla at a strike price. If you're talking a call option, you have the right to buy Tesla at a strike price of say, 150. Well, that is going to cost you more than if you were to look at a stock with the same values and the same strike prices, because there's more implied volatility with Tesla. It has more probability of going much, much higher. So you need to pay a premium. You need to pay more money. There's more extrinsic value in the price of that option because there's more probability that it's going to go much higher than your strike price and be more profitable. So you need to pay more for those options. Whereas, if you look at a stock that doesn't move around a lot, those option prices are going to be less expensive because there's less volatility, there's less chance of it going up or going down, meaning that there's less probability that you're going to earn more on your option. So there's less risk to the seller and so on. So the options prices are going to be a little lower. So in that discussion of implied volatility, when I was looking into this, the first thing that I kind of thought of was like, what comes first? It's sort of like what came first, the chicken or the egg? So I asked ChatGPT that, and I'm going to share with you what ChatGPT sort of said regarding, what kind of comes first, the options prices or the implied volatility. And this is what ChatGPT sort of answered when I asked them that question. So the question, of what comes first, options prices affecting implied volatility or, market sentiment influencing options prices, again, is indeed similar to this chicken and the egg scenario. So ChatGPT sort of gave me 3 points. So let's go over all of them. First one is in regard to market sentiment influencing options prices. So initially, traders' perceptions of future volatility influenced by news, events, or economic indicators drive the buying and selling of options. So this market sentiment determines the premium, so determines the price of options. For example, if traders believe a stock will be highly volatile, they might be willing to pay more for options to buy or sell the stock, driving up options prices. And the second point here is options prices affecting implied volatility. So the prices of these options are then used to calculate implied volatility. Higher options prices suggesting higher expected volatility result in higher implied volatility values. Conversely, lower options prices suggest lower expected volatility, leading to lower implied volatility values. And then there's a feedback loop. So this implied volatility, once calculated, provides a standardized measure of expected volatility that all market participants can see. So traders might adjust their positions based on these implied volatility levels, you know, buying options if they believe the level is too low or selling them if they think it's too high. And this adjustment in positions can then influence options prices again, continuing this sort of cycle. So in essence, you know, market sentiment and expectations initially shape options prices, which then define implied volatility. And then this implied volatility feeds back into the market, influencing future trading decisions and thus options prices again. And this process, you know, it's dynamic with both elements constantly sort of influencing each other. So that's what ChatGPT told me when I kind of questioned that what comes first. I think it's interesting. It's something you might want to look deeper into. It's sort of, you know, beyond a beginner's kind of scope of prices, but it was a question that came up for me right away when I'm looking at, you know, what this implied volatility is and how does the options price affect it, you know, and what comes first. And that's sort of like, I think, a pretty good explanation of how it's sort of all connected. And it's sort of just this continuing sort of cycle there. So I hope that you found that useful and certainly an area that you might want to look into a little bit further. So that's implied volatility. I thought we'd just wrap up here with discussing the key influencers of an options price, sort of as a summary. Two that we're going to exclude from this sort of beginner's discussion on option prices is dividends and interest rates. Those two things do affect an options price, but we're not going to get into them. They aren't sort of the key influences. They sort of do contribute, but not in the same way as what we're going to just summarize here. The stock price movements and the strike price, the idea of time decay, which we talked about, and then implied volatility, which we just discussed. So again, you know, the daily fluctuations in the stock price directly affect an option's intrinsic value. So that's going to, you know, directly affect the price of the option. So we talked about that there where, you know, you have a strike price, the right to buy at 150. Tesla's currently trading at 170. Well, if Tesla suddenly is trading at 180, you've got more and even more intrinsic value there. That option is going to have even more value. It's going to be more expensive. That's the stock price. And then, you know, the strike price of options also is going to affect the price of the option because it affects the intrinsic value. So we saw that in that formula. And then we talked about time decay. So as an option nears its expiration, the extrinsic value erodes. It's what's known as time decay. We talked about that. So if you've got a option, Tesla call option that expires this Friday versus one that expires in 60 days, the one in 60 days has much more time until it expires. Therefore, it has more extrinsic value. It's going to be priced higher with all other things being equal. So again, this effect, it's more pronounced for short-term options, this time decay, which are cheaper because there's, you know, potentially limited potential for the stock to move up. Whereas, you know, at expirations that are larger, there's more probability that the stock is going to move or drop even lower, giving more value to that option contract. Therefore, it's priced higher. And then lastly, implied volatility, we talked about that. It reflects the market's forecast of a stock's potential price range over a specific period, and it's deduced from current option prices, indicating how much the stock might move, but again, not the direction. And it plays a big role in the whole extrinsic value of the price of an option. So I think that's a good summary there. We talked about, you know, the price, it's made up of intrinsic value and extrinsic value, sort of a beginner's approach to prices for these options. And again, the previous episodes that we talked about, you certainly will want to have a good handle on, you know, what options are, buying them, selling them. And now we've talked about prices. And I think the next natural progression is to discuss these things called the Greeks, which go into more detail about some of the things that we talked about here on this episode. So I hope that you found this useful. Subscribe to the podcast. In the show notes, you can find links to our YouTube channel too, where I share videos about everything that we're learning. You can download the 6-month blueprint that outlines everything we're covering in the first 6 months. And again, now if you get a chance, come over to the community on School. You can become a member. You can stay accountable with me and with other members. And then you can find all the free courses that I'm putting up regarding this journey. And again, I've got a resource section there for everything that I'm accessing to learn options as I'm on this journey to become a full-time day trader. So thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you in the next episode.